Well, it's been a week of vast changes, hasn't it? Each day, things have changed in the way that we live. Many of us are now working from home. Hobbies, our security about health, the way that we travel, our connection to loved ones, these things have all changed this week. And today, we don't meet together physically, but in houses all over the southeast of Melbourne. But today, in the midst of these vast changes and disruptions to the ways that we live our lives and the routines of our days, today we come back to some basic disciplines. Over the coming days, I think we're going to find these rhythms increasingly important. So today we continue to read God's word together and to be taught by it. We continue to pray together, even while apart. And we continue to remind ourselves who it is that we are. Well, today we continue to look at the book of 1 Corinthians. And as we reach a new season in our daily lives, so too we reach a new section in the letter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul begins to address specific topics amongst the Corinthians. In today's passage, Paul presents a sharp rebuke to the Corinthian church. And while I don't want to skirt around the issue, today, out of pastoral concern for each of you, I want to focus on how Paul highlights, in this passage, our Christian unity, our Christian identity, and our Christian responsibility, which I hope will provide us some encouragement this day. So with that in mind, we're going to look at the passage in those three headings. Firstly, our Christian unity in verses 1 to 5, our Christian identity in verses 6 to 8, and our Christian responsibility in verses 9 to 13. So let's begin with Christian unity, verses 1 to 5. Well, verse 1, it introduces us to the concern of this section of verses 1 to 13. If you've got your Bible in front of you, have a look. Verse 1, it reads, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans, for a man has his father's wife." The issue Paul addresses is an individual that's sleeping with their mother-in-law. This requires the church to take action in disciplining him. And while we're not going into detail here, the general principle is that church discipline is intended for the sinner's good. As verse 5 points out, it gives attention to the desired end result of that individual's salvation. What Paul's discipline does reveal is something, though, remarkable concerning Christian unity, which we see in verses 3 and 4, and is important for us to remember as we're apart today. Look with me at verse 3. Paul says there, "For though absent in body, I am present in spirit." See, on the one hand, Paul's not physically present with them, is he? But remarkably, he says, on the other hand, he is spiritually present. In fact, Paul is so present that he can make judgments as if he were amongst them, as he goes on to say in that verse. See, they're bonded together in such a way that Paul can make this judgment as if amongst them. So what is it that bonds them together? What is it that bonds us together? Well, look at verse 4 with me. He says, "When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus." So what is it that bonds them together? In whose name do they meet? Well, we read it was in the name of the Lord Jesus. And as those who meet in the name of the Lord Jesus, they share a common spirit. They share the spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. So Paul can be spiritually present in their midst as they gather together, sharing the same spirit. And they can make this judgment together too, enabled by the Holy Spirit, as he says, it's with the power of our Lord Jesus that they make this decision. Note, it's not that the Corinthians make the decision with the power of the Lord Jesus, or that Paul makes the decision in the power of my Lord Jesus. No, Paul says here, we make this decision with the power of our Lord Jesus. It's together that they pronounce this judgment. It is the Lord Jesus who unites his people so that even when afar, they're near. Even though Paul's point here is unity in judging sin in their midst, we can also see some encouragement for us who are apart physically during this time. See, unity crosses barriers. Paul can be spiritually present with the Corinthians. They're united in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we meet together today, and as you feel isolated at this time, be reminded that you're not alone. No, we are deeply bonded together in the Lord Jesus. So what can you do to remind one another of that? Perhaps you could message a friend to tell them that you've prayed for them today. Perhaps you could call someone and just check in how they're going with everything COVID-19 related. Let's remind ourselves of this very real unity that we have in Christ. Well, brothers and sisters, Paul tells us here about the depth of our Christian unity. We're bound together in the Lord Jesus. But also in these times, it's important that we realize we have a solid Christian identity, which Paul now moves on to in verses 6-8. While Paul, he's highlighted to the church that church discipline is for the sinner's good. But now in this section, he highlights that it's also for the church's good. Paul uses the illustration here of yeast in dough that causes the whole batch to rise. Or to use a very current example, sin in the church is like a virus that spreads rapidly through the entire population. Paul's point in verses 6-8 is that sin is dangerous. It's dangerous for the church. And church discipline, the removing of sin, is for the good of the church. But why is it dangerous? Well, it's dangerous because it goes against our fundamental Christian identity. As he says in verse 7, cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. Paul's point here is that they need to live out their Christian identity. Now, when Paul says they're unleavened bread, he's using an Old Testament image from the Passover, as he goes on to say in that verse when he says, for Christ, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Paul's using the idea of them being this unleavened bread to say that in reality, they're sinless people. And he makes that clear in verse 8. And Paul's telling them that they are truly sinless because Jesus died for them. Just as the Israelites celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover to remind themselves of God's great salvation and the formation of them as a people, so too we are reminded that God has formed us into a people and he's made us sinless by the sacrifice of Jesus, who's dealt with our sin and fundamentally changed us. Well, my first year in high school was pretty tumultuous. I really tried to fit in with the cool kids, as I've told you in previous weeks. And in year 7, I found myself swearing. I found myself skipping classes, not doing my homework, and I even got pulled up for bullying. The shocking thing about this period was that earlier that year, I'd committed to follow Jesus. And one of my strongest memories of that time is in the backyard with my brother. And I was angry and I just swore at him. And as he ran inside, I lay on the ground. And I remember hearing these words in my head, Sam, you call yourself a Christian, but are you really living like it? And this is exactly Paul's point to the Corinthians. Corinthians, you call yourselves Christians, but are you really living like it? Berwick Anglican Church, you call yourselves Christians. Are you really living like it? Paul says, be who you really are. So who are we? Well, in times like these, it's so easy to forget who we really are. We can start panic buying. We can start worrying. But that shows that we think we're alone, that we think we're finite beings, that we think things are out of God's control. But the reality is different, isn't it? The reality for each of us is that because of this deep unity in Christ, we're never alone. Christ dwells within each of us. The reality is that we're not finite beings. We might die in this life, but if we have faith in Christ, then we have a great assurance that we live in Him and we have eternal life because of what Jesus has done. We have hope. We might think that things are out of control, but we saw in Jesus how in control of things God was then and is in control now. These are all parts of our identity of who we are as people who are in Christ. Berwick Anglican Church, know this identity that nothing in this world can take from you, and live it out. Well, we've looked together at our Christian identity, and now it's time to look at our Christian responsibility. Turning to verse 9 with me. See, Paul concludes verses 9 to 13 by clearing up a misunderstanding. See, Paul had previously written to them, we find out. And in verse 9, Paul's worried that some of them may have misapplied this. So he tries to clarify. And what does he say? Well, in essence, he says, don't remove yourselves from the world, but remove yourselves from repeat offenders, Christians living in perpetual sin. As he says in verse 11, have a look with me in your Bible. He says, but now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. Paul anticipates here a strategy for church discipline that looks a lot like social distancing. And that a social distance, not because of disease, right? But because of sin. So he says, if someone is in perpetual sin, continually sinning, not repenting, keep your distance. But what about the world? What has Paul said to us about the world? Well, where we might become tempted to think that we can escape from sin by escaping from the world. You know, we might think that we could live in a bubble or bunker down and just, you know, wait it out, away from all that sin out there. But Paul says that's not possible in verse 10. You'd have to leave the world. And we have no business, he says in verse 12, judging the world because that's God's job. So rather than leave the world, we're to remain in it. Our social distancing shouldn't be from our non-Christian friends. In fact, I'd say at this time, they need us even more. Our neighborhoods, our societies are already so fractured. Now they're also isolated, many working from home, panicked, fearful, and bunkering down. It is our time to shine. It's our time to be those who reach out responsibly to these communities. We have a responsibility to deal with the sin within so as to protect the church. But we must also have a responsibility to remain in the world, serving those around us. So in this time, let us not give up caring for one another and remaining accountable to one another. For we need to keep dealing with the sin within. Be encouraged by how strongly Paul views our unity, that we are socially responsible for each other. Each other ministry is important. How are we to know what's going on with someone else if we're not keeping in contact with each other? So call one another, pray for one another at this time. Check in, ask how people are going. Let us also, though, seek to remain in the world, not isolating ourselves so much from our neighbours and our friends at this time. Our neighbourhoods are already so fractured. How wonderful would it be if at this time we became known as those who responsibly, and I want to stress responsibly, those who responsibly cared for our neighbours. Being those who are in the world but not of the world. Well, brothers and sisters, Paul has written strong words to the Corinthians. But in these words, he helps us to think about our Christian unity, our Christian identity, and our Christian responsibility. So now I want to encourage you to discuss with each other or think through on your own some questions that I'm going to leave you with. There's three of them. The first is, what's one thing that you could do today to encourage another Christian that they're not alone at this time? How can you remind them of our unity? Secondly, what difference does it make to remember that you're secure in Christ? You have a secure identity in Jesus. And thirdly, how can you encourage other Christians to keep going today? And how can you be a good neighbor in our fractured and isolated world? I encourage you to discuss these things together now.